Well, praise the Lord. I'm very, very, very glad to be with you again today. That we can break the bread of life. Be encouraged, I hope, in the Spirit to press on. And, you know, I firmly believe that we are living in the last of the last days. Everywhere I go in the world, things are not getting any better. They're just getting worse and darker, and you see more sin and devastation and so much more lawlessness. And I think that what I want to share with you this afternoon in some respect maybe is the plan that God has for arresting that darkness. Now, the church teaches us that we do not have to worry about the destruction. That we do not have to be concerned about the wickedness that is becoming more and more prevalent and more dominant. Now, and when I say that we don't have to be worried about it, I mean in the sense that we will be raptured, we will be taken out of it, and this world will be destroyed. But that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that the earth will abide forever. And what is in the mind of God when He made man in the very beginning? That He would endow man with a power to stop the wickedness. In fact, as you read Paul's epistles, you find that tribulation is not something that we should be afraid of. Not something that we should be running from. Not something that we should be looking to escape out of, but that we should embrace it. And we should look at it as a challenge. We should look at it as an opportunity to demonstrate the reality of God that we have by virtue of the fact that we have been born again. Hallelujah. When there is a scripture in the Psalms, you can make a note of these things and go and check them out, please. But the scripture says that even though that we have been created a little lower than the angels, that it was in the heart and the plan of God to exalt Him and to give Him dominion over all things. I think it would be good for us to read a particular verse. Now, do you believe, let me ask you a question first. Do you believe that God makes a mistake. Do you think that God can make a mistake? No. Well, if you do, you need to repent. Do you think God will change his mind about a particular thought once he has spoke it? Well, if you believe that, and you believe that the scripture, the Bible, is the written word of God. Praise the Lord. So good to see you, sister. Amen. If you believe that the word of God, the Bible, is the inspired word of God, then you have to, when you look at the theology of the church and the theology that is in the word of God, you cannot help but see that something is wrong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When the church says to you that you are going to be lifted up, you're going to be raptured out of tribulation, that is not consistent with the thought that God had in the very beginning. Now, we have just agreed that God can't make a mistake. We've just agreed that God cannot change his mind. And we will also have to agree, because it is written that in God there is no shadow of turning. So when in the first chapter of Genesis, you know, I have been going back and forth across the world for so many years, and I can't get out of the first chapter of Genesis. There was a decree that God gave to man. There was a charge that was delivered unto man. Hallelujah. And not only was there a charge, not only was there a position of destiny that man could achieve, put into man's hands, but this man who had been designated by God to be in charge of the world was also created with the capability to be like God. Hallelujah. So, let us read what God said about this. And verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness." And listen very carefully. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle in all of the and all over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is something wrong with a philosophy or a religious thought that says that evil is becoming so evil and darkness is becoming so dark that a people that God has ordained from the beginning to be ruler over the world have to be taken out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As long as you look at yourself as a human entity living in a human body, living in a lower realm of carnality that is around us, you will never be capable or have the ability to see beyond the death and the destruction that is around you. And your only hope would be that somehow God would intervene by lifting you out of it. But if you can understand, if you are able to perceive what was in the heart of God, what was in the mind of God when He created Adam, hallelujah, knowing, God knowing, did you hear me? God knowing what would be happening at the end of the day. Do you hear what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be a foolish God who would create a human being knowing that at the end of the day that human being would be in such a position of jeopardy, weakness, and failure? That He would have to intervene by taking him out of it. I cannot see God doing that. I cannot see God thinking like that. Especially when God said in the beginning, hallelujah, when He said in the beginning, I want to make an entity, a personality, hallelujah, that would be like unto myself. Now, this is not Brother Burt's doctrine. This is not Brother Burt's thinking. This is not a thought that Brother Burt has conjured up and begin to expound upon to build his own kingdom. What I am sharing with you is what is in the heart and the mind of God concerning you. Concerning you. Because I have a secret to tell you. Maybe you know it. But when God created Adam and He brought forth Eve, He saw you. And He saw you, dear. He saw you sitting right there with that baby. Hallelujah. Knowing the darkness that is around you, knowing the evil that is rising up to destroy humanity, hallelujah. So God would have to provide a means. God would have to provide a way by which you and I might be able to rise up in the midst of darkness, in the midst of wickedness, and in the midst of diabolical behavior that is going on around us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He would have to divide devise a means by which we could begin to generate the energy and the authority to begin to bring it into a place of subjection, and that we might have dominion over it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God said, let us make this man in our image. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it says in verse 28, and God blessed them. You know, I can say to you, God bless you. You know, it's quite the religious thing to do. We're Christians, we're brothers, so we see one another, and we say, well, God bless you. It is not that we're insincere, but we have no concept. We have no thought or idea of what it is that is in the aspect of what it means to bless. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because when God blessed him, he just didn't say, I bless you, Eve. Hallelujah. I bless you, Adam. Hallelujah. When God blessed them, there was an impartation. Do you hear me? There was an impartation of God that came out of God and went into them. Did you hear me? It was an impartation beyond any aspect or thought that we can imagine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It brought out of God a living authority and imparted and instilled in them the ability to perform and to do and to accomplish what it was God wanted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it says that God blessed them. And he blessed them for a particular reason. Hallelujah. He blessed them for a particular purpose. It wasn't something that was trivial. It wasn't something that was frivolous, foolish. Hallelujah. It wasn't something of congeniality. They had a job to do, and they needed the power to do it. And so when God blessed them, he said unto them, be fruitful. Be fruitful. Hallelujah. Now, brethren, when we think of fruitfulness, we think of it down here, on this level, of doing good deeds, of being Christian in your thinking, of doing that which is right. Brethren, all of those things are good, and all those things are necessary. But when God blessed him to be fruitful, he was not talking about the natural arena. Can you imagine a spiritual God? It says they that worship God must worship God. How? In spirit and in truth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So there was, in God's mind, he wasn't talking about the garden. He wasn't talking about the trees producing. He wasn't talking about them
bringing forth their progeny. Hallelujah. He was talking about something that was inside of them. He was talking about something that was in the aspect of their soul. Hallelujah. When God birthed Adam, Adam was not birth of flesh. Did you hear me? He did not have a heritage of flesh. Hallelujah. When God breathed into Adam, Adam, it says, became a living soul. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Adam was not born as we have been born of our natural parents. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. There was something that was imparted to Adam. Hallelujah. That when God breathed into the being of Adam, the Bible says Adam became. Did you hear me? Adam became a living soul.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you to know something. At that point in time, if there was any time, heaven and the host had never seen. They had never known what it was that was happening. Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
They had never witnessed the power of creation in the magnitude of what happened in the aspect of what that life went into, that hunk of dirt and clay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you hear me?
Amen.
The Bible says that we were created a little lower. Hallelujah. And yet heaven witnessed the reality of God in a magnitude that they had never known before. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? I like to think about it sometimes. I think it was the first earthquake. I think it was the first time earth had ever witnessed or heaven had ever known the reality of an earth. Spiritual earthquake. Hallelujah. Because when he breathed into him, Adam's big body began to quake and to shake. Hallelujah. And it became a living entity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it stood up in its splendor and its glory before God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
My God, I can just hear heaven shout. Did you hear me? I can hear heaven shout. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The heavens were if you had windows, the windows would be rattling. Hallelujah. Over what it was that God did and what it was that God created. Hallelujah. When he created Adam. My goodness.
Hallelujah.
We have come down. Down. And we're down here, down, grubbing in the dirt. When we were created in such such a way, and a splendor of such beauty and glory, and the magnitude of power and authority. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God breathed in Adam. We need to pray, God, breathe into my soul. We need to be in travail. Hallelujah. We need to be requiring of God to breathe that anointing into our soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He says, be fruitful and multiply. Hallelujah. The power of creation that was in a living God, an omnipotent God, an omnipotent God, an omniscient God. Do you hear me, brother? That power that was in him was breathed into Adam. It's inconceivable, isn't it? It's hard to believe, isn't it? But when that Adam stood up before God, he had within his soul the living reality of God. Hallelujah. With the power of creation within him. How do you think Adam took care of his garden? One man. Hallelujah. You know that ground that they describe as in the Bible as the garden was huge. It was immense. It was huge. It would take, you could not walk across it. It was so loud, and yet he was in charge of all of it. Hallelujah. 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 He said, and replenish the earth. I want to read a verse to you. I want you to think about this now. Come on. We're talking about rapture versus a position or a people in a position of dominion. Is a rapture doctrine? Is it consistent with the thought, with the idea of being fruitful, multiplied, replenish? Is it consistent? Is it consistent? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to see if I can find this verse. I think it's in Isaiah. Oh yes, Isaiah 55. Turn with me if you have your Bibles. I want to go here. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Hallelujah. Now listen to what it says. For my thoughts, it's God's thoughts. God's thoughts, my thoughts, are not your thoughts. God does not think like I think. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God does not think. Isaiah 55 verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, my God. My God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Neither are your ways my ways. Do you understand what he's saying? He's up here. We're down here. Hallelujah. We look at a glass, it is half empty. He looks at the glass, it is full and overrunning. We look in the mirror and we are weak. He looks upon us and we are strong. Hallelujah. We look at it ourselves as a defeat and a failure. God says, you are a overcomer and a victorious warrior. Hallelujah. We look at a situation, it is impossible. Everything about it is impossible. Our mind tells us it is impossible. Our emotions tell us that it is impossible. Hallelujah. Our upbringing, our ethnic origin tells us it's impossible. God looks at it and God says nothing is impossible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My thoughts, my ways, they are not your ways. They are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Hallelujah. Well, that would be a dilemma, wouldn't it? If it were that we were to stay in this lower realm. If we were to stay in this lower position, this lower place. If we always look in a horizontal have a horizontal attitude of looking at things. Hallelujah. But the solution to the problem is to elevate our eyesight, to elevate our thoughts, to elevate our desires, to elevate those things that excite our emotions. Hallelujah. What would be greater? What would be more exciting? Someone giving you 300,000 birr? Or an opportunity for Jesus Christ to come and talk to you? Unfortunately, many of us would take the 300,000 birr. Unfortunately, or we would expect Jesus Christ to change something about our environment. But you see, Jesus Christ isn't concerned about your external environment. It's of no importance to him. You can be the poorest, most wretched physical person in the world and yet have an inheritance in God in the position of your reality of him that lifts you up into an entirely different environment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. Hallelujah. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh to bring forth and to bud, and that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're not talking about natural things here, brethren. He's using a natural illustration of seeds and sowing and raining to describe a spiritual position or condition. Hallelujah. The Bible says in one of the prophets that in the last days that God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Not only will He pour His Spirit out on all flesh, but He promises to pour out the former and the latter rain. He likens the pouring out of His Spirit as the rain that comes down from heaven. He likens the seed that you plant into the earth. He likens the seed that you plant in the earth as the seed that is in the Word. Hallelujah. And as the seed in the earth produces the variety of fruit and brings forth substance for you to eat and for you to again to take and to sow, so is the Word of God to you and to I. It is to excite us. It is to energize us. It is to become the essence of our being. The Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh forth out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. When Adam was given, and Adam and Eve were given to be given the command to become fruitful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God spoke it, but God was also a good gardener. And He came in the cool of the day to talk with Adam. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What do you think they were talking about? What do you think they're talking about the weather? Can you imagine me talking to God about the weather? Do you think that He was discussing some sort of problem He was having over here in one portion of His garden? Hello? Do you think that He was discussing the personal issues between Him and Eve? What do you think God would be talking to Adam about? Hallelujah. I believe that God was talking to Adam about the thing that was on God's heart. I think God was talking. I think that we can know what God was talking to Adam about because He put it down in the Bible for us to read it. When Paul said, "We are more than conquerors." Hallelujah. When Paul says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." Hallelujah. When Paul wrote the scriptures that says, John wrote the scriptures, now are we the sons of God. Hallelujah. I think it is what God was talking to Adam about. I think He was instructing Adam as a father would instruct his son. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I have sons. And I have been a carpenter. And I had a business. And my sons would work for me. And I wanted them to be good carpenters. And so I would talk to them. I would bring them out to the job. And I would be talking about the various things that were going on. And I would give them a hammer. And I would give them a nail. And I would show them how they were to hit the hammer on the head of the nail. Hallelujah. And I would teach them to be carpenters. You want to know something? They're all good carpenters. They're not just carpenters, but they are good carpenters when they carpentry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what do you think God was talking to Adam about? I think God was saying to Adam, son, I want you to be like me. And I want you to walk like me. I want you to talk like me. I want you to be just exactly as I am. Now, let me tell you how you can do it. Hallelujah.
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 Do you know that Enoch, that Adam was alive for a good portion of Enoch's life? When the Bible tells you that Enoch walked with God, who do you think was talking to Enoch? Who do you think was sharing the secrets of God with Enoch? Hallelujah. Until Enoch got to a place that he no longer had to walk with Adam in God, but he could walk with God to such an extent, to such a degree, hallelujah, that he came into the reality of what it was that God intended from the very beginning. Do you hear me? Enoch walked right out of his humanity into divinity. Did you hear it? It says that Enoch walked with God and he was not, because God took
it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you imagine being too good for this world?
Hallelujah.
But you see, God didn't do it haphazardly or indifferently or in some manner without thought. God wanted to demonstrate a mortal man could walk into the divinity that God had given unto Adam in the beginning, and Enoch proved it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So, let us go down to verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? So shall my word, so shall my God's word. Hallelujah. That goeth forth out of my God's mouth. It shall not return to me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing wherewith I have sent it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Has the word changed? Has the thought changed? Has the concept somehow been revised or remodeled? Do you not believe that what God spoke in the beginning, demonstrating over and over again through the Old Testament, through human beings' lives that are suffering and dying, and some of them overcoming? Hallelujah. Do you believe that God, the concept of what it was that God had in the beginning, has changed, and it will be something different in this end time? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I do not believe it. I do not believe that it will be different. I believe that what God said in the beginning and what He demonstrated through the reality of people in mortal flesh demonstrated the reality of the power of the living Word. Hallelujah. And down through the time and the ages until Jesus Christ Himself came. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And by virtue of what He did, and by virtue of what He became, man and God working together in this low realm. Every aspect of defeat and failure, Jesus the man faced it. Now listen to me. Jesus the man overcame it. Did you hear me? Now we want to say, well, that's Jesus. That's God. But let me tell you the secret. The same God that was in Jesus, and the capacity that He was in Jesus, are you listening to me? Is the same God that is in you. It's the same God. If you've been born by the blood, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the same God, the same omnipotent, omnipotent, omnipresent God that was in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Is in you.
Hallelujah.
Now, you know something? Jesus did not have to die and to go into the grave and to be resurrected in order for Him to become the omnipotent, omnipotent, omnipresent God. That's not what the scriptures teach us. What the scripture teaches in John chapter 17 is that God prayed. Did you hear me? I should say, man prayed. John chapter 17. Hallelujah. John chapter 17. Oh yes, here it is. John chapter 17. I'm just seeing where we should start. Let's start at the first verse. These words spake Jesus. Now, when get out of the natural thinking. When it says these words spake Jesus, we're not talking linguistics. We're talking about what is in the words. We're talking about the energy that is in the words. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, and these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Hallelujah. He was still in the flesh.
Yes.
አባቶ ይሳቱ ደርሷል በዚህ አከብር ዘንድ በስጋም ሁሉ ላይ ስልጣን እንደፈጠረው ሁሉ የዘላለም ህይወት ሰጣቸው ዘንድ ልጅህን አክብረው
አሜን
He was still in the flesh
Yes
He was still the man
በእንደሰ ሆኖ ነው የለመደግ የቃተተ ያለው ነው የሚሉት
And he was a man
so no
without the omnipotent omnipresent omnipotent power of God do you hear me
ብቻውን አይደለም እንደሰ ሆኖ ነው የቃተተ ያለው
Do you hear it? Because when he says, give me the glory, he's talking about the reality and the composite makeup of what makes God, God. That means that up until this point in time, everything that he was doing, everything that he was facing, he was doing it as a man in fellowship with God. Hello? Do you hear me? Man, not God in fellowship with God. Not a God fellowshipping with a God, but a man fellowshipping with a God. In the same respect that we are in now fellowshipping with God. Hello? Are you following what I'm saying? Hallelujah. He says, give it to me, Father. For the hour has come to glorify my Son, thy Son. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He was asking God to lift him up. He was asking God for the totality of the inheritance that was to be apportioned unto him. Hallelujah. You know, in Romans, it says that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an endowment or a portion of our inheritance. It's a part. It's a piece. It's not the totality of it. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it was as Christ was, so it is with us at this particular time in his life. Now listen to what he says. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life as to as many as thou hast given him. There is so much here, I just don't have the time to do it. I'm just going down to the verse that I want. It's very difficult, but I'm just going to go on down. To get life as many as thou hast given him. Oh, I have to say something. There is something in the spirit that is given to you by reason of your spiritual birth and life in Christ. It is not something that you get in heaven. It is something that you possess. It is something that you bring into a position of subjection to you. Hello? Come on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In your present and current environment, there was a necessity. This verse says there was a necessity. Oh, hear it, brethren, please, I pray. To demonstrate the reality of that dominion in his natural set of circumstances and living in life and all of the turmoil that was around him. Hallelujah. That turmoil and that confusion and all of that tribulation was a stepping stone that was lifting the man Jesus, hallelujah, higher and higher and higher into the realm of heaven as a man. Hallelujah. Until he could come to the place to say, "No, Father, I stand on the level that it is now your turn to give to me, to take and to give to me that which I need to finish the job." Hallelujah. You know, the Bible talks about the baptism in water. Hallelujah. It talks about the baptism in the Spirit. Now listen to me, brethren. What we haven't heard too much about is the baptism into Christ. Hallelujah. There is a baptism that we are yet waiting and wanting. Hallelujah. It is a baptism that we must have in order to finish the job, in order to complete the task, in order to do the will of God at the end of the day. Hallelujah. Do you know what Jesus said to his disciples? They came to them and he said, "I, James, and I, John, I want to sit or stand on your right hand." He says, "Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I am going to be baptized with?" Foolish guys, foolish men. "Oh yes, 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 yes. We want to be baptized with that baptism." And when it came down to the last day, to the last hour, they all ran like chickens out of the garden. And one man ran out, it says, naked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he says, "This is life eternal." Did you listen? "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Hallelujah. This is life eternal. Oh, I thought getting born again was life eternal. I thought getting baptized was life eternal. I thought going to heaven was life eternal. No, 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 no. Life eternal is knowing the reality of God in such a manner, in such a way, that that reality overshadows anything and everything, and everything and anything become non-existent except for His existence. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church tells you, pay your tithe, go to church, give honor to the pastor, do your visitations, live a good life the best that you can, and maybe you might make it. We as Christians have drifted so far to the left of God, that if God was to come in the flesh, and stand in the midst of the church, they would persecute him, they would crucify him. I have glorified thee on the earth. Hello there. You know, our job isn't finished. Can you say in absolute certainty and with assurance that you have fulfilled the glorification of God in your current present set of circumstances? And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self. With the glory which I had with thee before the world was. What do you think he was talking about? Man standing before God, asking God to condescend and to put within him the totality of what it was that God was. And what he had before he divested himself of the totality of that God-likeness. Do you think he got it? What do you think God heard? And what do you think that God, how do you think God responded? Well, the Bible tells us. Hallelujah. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Hallelujah. I said, verse 9, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, for them that which thou hast given me, but for they are thine. And all... All are mine, are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it just goes on down. I'm going to jump down. Hallelujah. It says, I have given them thy word, verse 14, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now listen, this is God praying for you and I. I pray that thou shouldest not take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we have a job to do. There is something that God is bequeathing to us by virtue of the knowledge that He is bringing to us. The question is not whether you do it or you don't do it. The question is, do you believe it? If you believe it, then you will have to prove it. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen.
The Holy Spirit move upon us.
Absolutely.
As we started, as you say, we share the bread of life. Praise God. እንጀራ ምንድነው ነው እንጀምር አወል ለምንካፈል መተናል የህይወትን እንጀራ ደግሞ ምን ብለናል ተካፍለናል ክብር ለጌታ ይሁን እንጸልያለን እስቲ ወገኖች